Okay, this is Big Little Questions, and I am here with my friend Margot. We are recording this on Friday for you guys to hear on Monday. So this is the first time that we've done like a non-live recording. We'll see how it goes. And really excited to be here. So Margot and I know each other from Minerva. We went to college together, so we've known each other for how long does that mean? Almost 6 years, 5.5 years. And like what to say about Marco, like you are someone who our friendship has I think on average strengthened with time, including after Minerva, like including the time post Minerva, but has also had its like its learnings along the way. And I feel like that is something that when I think about you and when I think about like your friendship, I'm just like incredibly grateful for the things that I have learned about myself and about how I think about and treat friendship through like experimenting with life with you. I don't know if that makes sense, but that is something that is like one thing that comes to mind. And beyond that, I think that you are someone who I just like, I really love. Like, I really love to talk about things with you. I really love to think about things with you. And I feel like where often in life there is like a kind of filter between like, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Now, how do I translate this to even like to a really good friend? Like, how do I translate this in a way that will, make sense to this friend, or a way that this friend will be able to interpret? And I feel like one thing that I feel in conversations with you and in friendships with you is that like I do very little of the like translating, because I feel like there are levels in which our like our thoughts are speak the same language as each other in certain ways, and that feels really fun. And also just to highlight a fun memory, which is there's like a semester when Marco and I would we both like had very few classes on Mondays. Like my classes ended at 10 a.m. and hers didn't start until like 7 p.m. or something like that, and we just it was like such a golden semester of just like going on adventures and having fun with each other, and like just really a joy. And so much of this past year, when I feel like, oh, so much of it has been hard, like what I'm missing and what I'm craving is that kind of like love and fun and things with each other. So, for all those reasons and more, I hope it makes sense to you, Marco, and to you, anyone who's listening, why I was excited to have you on the show. So, welcome to Big Little Questions. Is there anything that you want to add, anything you want to say by way of introduction? Floor is yours.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. You said most of the things that I would say, but you missed an important part, which is that you are a rock. And I have a drawing that you made of me in Hyderabad when we celebrated my half birthday, which is a very important day to celebrate. And you wrote on this portrait, Schrödinger's self, as time goes on, we either become more sure or less sure of ourselves. But which is it? Which is also a very nice question. And oh, something we learned in Minerva. I will say, I'm Margot. You already said this. I am a white person from the Netherlands, currently in Amsterdam, and my pronouns are she, her, they, them. That's it.
Good intro. Thank you, Marco. Okay, so we are gonna dive into some questions. I will say, as I've mentioned previous weeks, that I always am secretly noticing, not in any particular direction. I'm always noticing like who highlights a lot of questions from the like document, who is like, nope, these are my five and these are what I want to talk about. And I will say that Marco and I ended up with 2.5 full pages of questions that we then had to narrow down from there. But I'm about to put we got it down to 11, and I'm about to put these into a like random number generator. And so I always feel the anxiety here of like, which one do I really want? Is it going to be that one? And let's see what happens.
But if it's not the one we want, we
We
can
can change
just change.
it. I know, I knew you were going to say that. Oh, but it is the one we want. I'm going to send it to you in the chat of the Zoom. Could you read it out
Oh, yes.
loud?
I like. Do I have to read it
Go
out?
For it. Yeah.
How should I map the world? Mine. In terms of Venn diagrams, I stand in, seemingly, alone. And how can I make sure unsuredness about which thing to do doesn't mean doing none of them?
Cool. Great. This question is from December 23rd, 2019. So I want to say that I had just gotten back to Chicago after Teva. And I feel like what I was probably thinking about was like, I had just come back and where was I going to be? And was I going to stay in Chicago? And who do I know here? And like, it seems like I am, you know, part of like lots of different overlapping, some non-overlapping like worlds and just like thinking through that. So that's some like context on where the question comes from. So my first question to you about this is like, why did you bold this? Why did this stick out to you? And what are like your initial, what are the initial things that come to mind about it?
Okay, I think for two reasons. So I recently did an exercise where I had to draw my social life, and I ended up drawing a Venn diagram of my literally social circles. So yeah, this is really fresh on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the word mapping just caught me, because I think mapping in any sense that is not scientific sort of is a really nice way to have a new perspective on things we think we already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about two things when you bring up mapping. One is that Martha and I both worked together at this thing called the MAP, which, wait, what did it stand for? The Medici Archive Project. In Florence, Italy. And so, although we had very different experiences of it, and that's one thing, and also that something else that I think will be relevant to this question, we can go there in a second, but also feels relevant to our like friendship introduction, is that one way that we are connected in life is through this series of history classes that we took at Minerva, that we both, like, I think found very, like world breaking and worlds and mind opening, mind shifting, and that I feel like a concept that we were always playing with in those classes was mapping, both in a like GIS spatial mapping way and just like mapping how concepts, yeah, just like mapping. So
yeah.
I guess I'm thinking about like in this social thing Venn diagram that you had to draw out, like, what were the overlaps, and or like, what are the things that you noticed about overlaps versus non-overlaps?
Well, I think this really relates to the part of the question where you say, when I stand seemingly alone, because my conclusion was that while supposedly at the Venn diagram about your own life you should be at the center where all overlaps meet, I thought that actually I'm on the periphery. I feel like there are lots of these circles and I am part of many of them, but I don't feel the center of any of them. And that's something I feel right now. That's not how I always feel in my life. Yeah, so the overlaps, it wasn't like categorized by, oh, I went to this school or I was part of this club, and then some people are in multiple of these and I was in all of them, but still I didn't feel like, maybe that was just not the right way to break it down.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does it feel like in mapping this, did whatever was revealed to you in the mapping of the like the noticing about periphery versus center, did that feel like reflective of how you feel, or did it feel like it revealed a like, oh, this like system of showing this is actually not as effective as something else, or as like revealing? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, I think the difficult thing about that was that I'm bringing together things from different parts of my life, which is something you should definitely consider in a map, like how far do you zoom in or out?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe mm-hmm. I zoomed out too much on time. Maybe Minerva should have been one map and Amsterdam mm-hmm. life right now should have been one map and all these different pieces I tried to put together. But I'm just, you know, it's, oh, I hope I don't make this all really sad, but it's just sad Corona times. And yeah. I'm really missing what you said, like that friend that you can build on, the friend that you go on an adventure with every Monday. And while there seem to be lots of structures that I can put in the diagram,
mm-hmm.
They are not actually filled with the things that I need from them.
Yeah,
so I would love for there to be one tiny circle with one really mm-hmm. rocky friend, but mm-hmm. that's not there right now. And so it's a quality quantity question and also a circumstances of the world question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about one thing that I like, and you kind of just like pointed to this one thing that I think about when I look at this question is that I think about like, right, I feel like the simpler or like more obvious reading of this question is about structures, like, oh, you know, I'm like Jewish and I'm white and I'm from Chicago and I'm in such and such thing and I do such and such other thing and whatever, and like what are the overlaps between those. But I also feel like the way that I really like think about this question is in terms of people and specific people and like or like small communities of people, and like, you know, who are the people in the world for whom I am the connector? And like for each of those people, like the same question for each of them, like on and on into infinity. And I guess the like the Corona relevance of this or the connection, I feel like to this year. I feel like I'm constantly thinking about, not necessarily intentionally, this is just like where my brain has been and how it works. I'm constantly thinking about like new ways of conceptualizing or different ways of conceptualizing like what this year has been and what has felt missing and like how to like zoom in on exactly those things. And one way is to think about like all the people, all the Venn diagrams where I might have been standing alone or mostly alone in the center and are now just not connected because I'm not there. And mm-hmm. that's not a like ego thing. That's not a like, oh, I'm the only connector. It's just like, it is true that each of us has things in our lives that we are the ones to bring together, things or people or communities or spaces or whatever. And so like, what are all of the, and that's, I don't know, I guess that's another thing of mapping of this year is like all of the like missing space between, things that are not like looped in to each other. And curious if that feels like it describes some of how you've, like where you are at with this as well.
Yeah, because while I say like, oh, I would love to have just one really strong, tight friend with me, it's also all the dynamics change.
Mm-hmm.
So some people you love in the group that you know them, and all those groups have evaporated.
Yeah, right.
And so that relationship is gone, or, you know, it's really in a very deep sleep. So
I think
I
think that also speaks to like, or like, I love what you just said, and the like sentence that I'm pulling out from there is the idea of like loving people in context. And I feel like I have, this concept has become more and more important to me, although I had not named it until you just did just now, but that like, I feel like I used to be kind of resistant to the like, if you like, you love someone and someone's your friend, then like you're there, you feel the same about them and you have the same relationship to them in all scenarios. I'm like, that's obviously not true. Like, of course, we know that that's not true. But also that like, I feel like I used to think, oh, that's not true. And it's kind of a bad thing. Like, it kind of means that your friendship is actually not as solid as you think it is. Or like, maybe you don't know each other as well as you think, but actually that like, no, context is incredibly important and that's okay. Like, that's fine to have the people who we like. Like just that our relationships to people exist in space and in concept, and that like so much of that has evaporated or transformed.
But everyone also knows. Everyone knows this, because I always think that when people say like, "Yeah, you have your family and you couldn't really choose them, but then you have your friends and you chose them," it's like, not really. You know, I just kind of stumbled upon them because of the circumstances in my life. and we just happened to be sitting next to each other. We happened to be in the same place. Like, yeah, so the context is like so big.
What I think about, okay, so I remember this conversation that we had two and a bit years ago. I was at your house for like between Christmas and New Year's in Amsterdam, and we were talking about like what changes in relationships where you haven't seen people for a long time, and I remember that you had a very, or like this is my memory of it, please feel free to correct me, but I remember that you had like a very, like, not like, oh, this is my hard line, but you were like, yeah, I think if you don't see someone for like a long time, like you don't have new input in your relationship, and that really it's like hard to maintain a friendship in that way. And A, first question is, am I misremembering that? And if so, please correct me. And second is like, has your, like, how has your relationship to that opinion changed, both in the like post Minerva time and then also in the like last year Corona time? How has it changed how you think about that? And I have a follow-up question, but I'll go with that one first.
Okay. Well, I agree and I disagree with my past self because, of course. Well, in part, I think it's still true because my experience have been sometimes that if you don't see someone for a long time, your relationship becomes that when you see each other, you have to catch up. And so all you do is talk about things that have happened instead of doing things and making things happen. But if you haven't seen each other for a long time, but then you start seeing each other consistently again, it can come back. But if your relationship is only forever going to be, hey, let's catch up on the last 2 years, then it's like, it's not alive. So... But I think with that post Minerva, I'm not in touch with a lot of people because it's too much. But with the people that I am, it's like pretty regularly. And so it still feels like even though we can't do things together now because we are not in the same place, not even because of Corona, we're still an active part of our, of each other's lives. So maybe, yeah, that's not, you don't always have to see each other. Although I'm sure that it would be more fun to see each other.
Yeah, I sent you the other day after we talked earlier this week. And I just like, I mean, I had so much to say afterwards, like, you know, threads of the conversation, all that. But like really my dominant feeling, which I think I messaged you, was like, I hope that there comes another time when we live in the same place as each other. Like that's really... That's really, I don't know, it would just be amazing, but at the same time, not hang, like, not, not having a relationship, like, depend on that, is, feels like, feels necessary. But I,
but, yeah. Wait, to be fair to all my faraway friends, now I am still trying to make new friends. I hope none of them will find out about this radio show. and I feel like some... of these new friendships are like the friendships that I just described that that are dead, where it's like, oh, because we're in this period of time where we can't go on adventures, also the new relationships that I'm creating are based on talking to each other about the things that have happened, but not a lot of things are happening, and so it's even hard to do that.
Yes, like, yes, I think that I think that's really real. I don't even have, I mean, I have many responses, but I feel like there's also, I don't know, in this moment, I know that, that things look different where we live right now, but in this moment in the US, like lots of people who I know are vaccinated and getting vaccines. And there's lots of like, and I don't even actually want to go down that road for the most part about like, what will it look like and how do we feel about that? But just like, it's very, it's weird and in a way overwhelming. Not just the parts that are obvious that would be overwhelming, but specifically the like, oh wait, we'll have, there will be more things that one can do together, and like relationships might again be built on those things rather than a like talking about the things that have happened. I don't know. And yeah, just like, I don't even have a concrete thought on it. Just like something I'm, I've been thinking about as it's been relevant. But I also wanted to ask, like, you are someone, actually, we both, I think, are people who, one, it's like important to us in life to like keep in touch with people. And we both have, you know, close friends in our world from many different places. I both mean like geographically, but also just like from many different parts of our life, like that we're all like very intense periods. And then we are friends with those people. And I guess I want to know, both for the radio, but also just like, you know, I'm curious how you think about this thing that I'm never sure how to think about. Like, what does it mean for contexts to no longer exist? For like the context in which you knew someone to have like, to not be there anymore. And like, I don't know. I can think of a more specific question, but if you have a thought already, then like, please, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. I think you said at the beginning of this conversation, like, oh, and it makes us wonder, like, are our friendships not actually as solid as we think they are? And I think that applies to this as well, where it's just, no, they're not, because they're always subject to change. And so, like, if we say, oh, this context doesn't exist anymore because we graduated college, it's, yeah, but also, I'm in Amsterdam now, and there are some people that I know from Amsterdam, but the context also doesn't exist. So it's again also this thing of how far do you zoom in or out?
Yeah.
And at some point, doesn't the context just become that you have had that context and we call this shared history?
Yes. So might you say that friendships are socially constructed and historically contingent?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're also archives.
I feel like we're just parodies of ourselves
at this point. We are. But I also have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I said, well, I maybe didn't create the right categories when I made that Venn diagram. So if you had to map your social life, just right now, okay, your answer can be subject to change as well. What categories would you create? How would you do this?
Yeah, I feel like, I really don't know. I feel like the first, I'll say the first things that came to mind. There's like, there's three potential ways that I would map it. One is like temporal mapping. People I knew from X, people I knew from X plus one, people I knew from X plus two. Time. I don't know if that was a useful way of saying it.
Hey, what?
Like people I knew from 5 years ago, people I knew from 3 years ago, people I knew from now or whatever. Like that's one way of thinking about it. And then there's geographically people I know from, like people I know from Chicago, people I know who are, or like people I know who are in Chicago right now, people I know who are like in the US and I might see them soon, people who are outside of that sphere and I don't know the next time I'll see them. That's like another kind of way of mapping. And then the third is like a feelings mapping, which is like closeness, or like how frequently I talk to someone, or how close I feel to someone. And I don't know, I feel like those are all useful. And on a like meta Venn diagram, I'm thinking about the question of like what would be the Venn diagram between those three types of mapping people.
But, oh right.
Yeah, those are the like, those are the kinds of categories that come to mind for me.
Do you think you could map your friendships in emotions? Like,
say more, or like ask more specifically?
I'm already thinking about the logistics, but like you take anger, you take surprise, I don't know, you take happiness, and try and like figure out what main emotion a certain relationship brings you. But now I'm thinking then it would be much more interesting to place people in between the emotions than
in the Venn diagrams. Right, maybe that, right. Yeah. And then who are the people who stand, or like, actually that's a really interesting question, like who are the people, who is the person, or who is the set of people who stand in between like anger and joy, you know, or like whatever else.
Yeah.
Which, wow. Two things. One is in response to this, and one is like, I want to call back to something else before we move on. I have, okay, so I think, you know, like I use the notes app on my computer, like truly so much. I have 1700 notes, and some of them are like to-do lists, and some of them are like whatever, like lists of things or people or notes or thoughts or whatever. And I have a couple notes that I remembered recently that are like I did try to make a list of like people who I've learned specific things from. Like, here are the people who I like learned who my friendship with them taught me about like, you know, X, like commitment or accountability or like showing up, like, I don't know, any number of things. So I do think that I have, it's not necessarily like in terms of feelings, like you're saying, but it is like maybe like lessons feels like such a cold way to describe it, but something like that. I feel like I have tried to do, not like comprehensively, but has been interesting. Yeah, I would actually really love to try to do the, like, I think it would be very difficult, not just logistically, but also emotionally, to try to do what you just described, the like Venn diagrams and where people fit in between those. But also probably really, really fruitful and interesting.
I am, as you say this, checking out the notes on my laptop, and I typed in Didi in the search bar.
Oh no.
And I have a note from November 20th, 2017 about all the ways that we are alike.
Oh, I remember this. Oh my God. Do you want to, is there anything that you want to share? Because I think actually that's really connected to the next thing I was going to say. If you want to share anything, you don't have to. There's something about Schrodinger's period I want to say on there.
There's one, I don't know if you, okay, there's this one says, making up madness and drama in your head. This was before we ruled out ableist language, but, and then there's a whole list of subclauses to this.
Oh my God. Am I allowed to see this? Will you send it to me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Also, this is the reason I say this is connected, and also please feel free to keep sharing. I'm so curious, or like, I would love to, whatever, but, is you said earlier something that is so, of course, this is what you would bring out, but you mentioned, I don't know if you use these exact words, but like friendship as like, yeah, friendship as an archive. And like, first of all, I just can't stop smiling when I say that, because it just makes me remember everything that like, or like makes, it's like, I feel like that is one sentence concept that makes me remember everything that like I love about being friends with you and about thinking about things with you, is like, of course that's what you would say and what you would think of. But I think that that's really, really true. And like, I don't know, I think a lot about, I was talking to Michael recently, and he like reminded me, he sent me like a screenshot of a message that I had sent him like 3 years ago. And I was like, whoa, like, why did you come across this? And he was like, oh, I was talking to my friend and trying to show her examples of like how we communicate. And since our like Facebook chat is the archive of this friendship, I think he literally said that. And I just like, wow, swoon. Like, I love that, of course. And just thinking about all the different ways that exists, and all the things that only, I think this is also a thought about like what happens when a context disappears, is that like there's things that I will only think of when I'm talking to you, and so like you are the archive or the librarian of like those parts of me. And so like maybe that is a sharper understanding of what it means to like miss someone, or to feel like you want to hang out with someone, is like part of it is accessing those parts of you.
But also, how beautiful is it then to think that you are already an archive of things, and it's certain people that also unlock you, you know? Yeah. It's both. Yeah. Like, we build things together, but also some people reach parts of you that you didn't know before.
Yeah. I think I remember in also, at this point, almost 2 years ago, in a conversation that I had with someone when we were like, are we breaking up? Like, is that what's happening right now or soon? And one of the things that we talked about like, you know, why is this sad? There's like the obvious, like surface level reasons, but like, there's also this thing of like, there's things that we, that like you notice about me, or I notice about you, or that like we hold for each other from this friendship that we've had, or from this relationship that we've had, that like just like probably will then be dormant for at least a long time. And like, that's okay. Cause you know, like things build on things, but like, it's also sad. And I don't know. I think it's really helpful for me. I think a lot about like, what is the difference between thinking your feelings and feeling them? And I think it's really helpful for me in answering that question to be able to like concretize things beyond like, oh, I'm sad to be breaking up with this person, to be like, oh, I'm sad that the things that this person like unlocks in me, I might not have like, I might lose the key to those or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the flip side of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it into only a sad thing. It's also a happy thing, but like, because,
no,
yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But that also makes me think that can we be satisfied with ourselves knowing that there are parts of us lying dormant? Like, is it enough to know that they are there and we love ourselves for them? Or do we have to use them and unlock them, and otherwise they're wasted or something?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the thing that is like most true to, I feel like, how I have functioned so far in the world is that I am like constantly wanting to know and to figure out what those other things are. And like, yeah, that's one reason that I love, you know, making new friends and keeping in touch with old friends and like all of the things kind of in that realm, because I feel like those are so often I have the experience of like, I have a conversation with someone who like maybe I haven't talked to in a while, or even I have, and I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot all these things about, or like I wasn't tapped into all these things about myself. And then that kind of like, yeah, reintroduces those. And so I feel like my instinct is that I on a like, what do I want level, it's like, yeah, I always want to be figuring out what those things are. But also like, does that just like set you up for failure, because like you're never gonna meet every possible version mm-hmm. of yourself, right? I don't
that
know
that is
you think.
Schrodinger. Schrodinger's yeah. box.
Yes. Schrodinger's self.
Schrodinger's self, absolutely. And also the fundamental problem of causal inference. Hey Diamond, I keep listening.
How many different classes can we reference? I'm thinking about this concept also, just to name, we are past the time of shifting, but I'm happy living in this question for now, if you are happy with it.
I'm a sup. I take all your orders.
Okay, let's keep going. And then if we come to I'll check in a couple minutes for another like pivot point. But I was thinking about the like, okay, so we've, you know, the archives and the keys and to the parts of yourself. And I'm thinking about like we each as like a library or a catalog of like all of the things about our friends. And like when I'm like, oh Marco, like we haven't talked in a while, you want to catch up, I'm just inviting you to come browse in the library, both of like yourselves and of the me selves that you open up, and also of like these other selves that are, you know, our friends who are in the Venn diagram between us, and just like come check out, you know, come check out what's here. And I feel like that's, I don't know, I love thinking of it like that, not surprisingly, but I love thinking of it like that. And yeah, I think thank you for that image. There's not really a question here.
I'm thinking something else now on this archive thing, mm-hmm. which is, so you have friendships, but then you, most people have a family and parents, mm-hmm. and I know that a really common experience seems for people going away for high school or college, that when they come back to their parents, they think like, oh, I changed so much and I grew mm-hmm. and I have all these insights. And then you come to that mm-hmm. house mm-hmm. and you're back to the person you were. Yeah. And so the whole, that's also about context, like mm-hmm. the whole dynamic of that ecosystem is the archive of how you're supposed to be. And mm-hmm. it's so hard mm-hmm. to wrestle yourself free from this. I still feel it sometimes when I go to my parents, but then yeah. I'm thinking, well, like, I don't feel like my friendships are like this. And why is that? Mm-hmm. And will they maybe become like that in a while from now? Because my friendships now are all seem to be shaped in my very shapeable years. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if we become older and less shapeable, will I feel about my friends like I feel mm-hmm. about my parents? Mm-hmm. Prepped? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two things about that. Yeah, one of them is that I think that there's like a general, I don't know if I believe this, but I feel like I need to believe it and really want to believe it, which is like the construct of like shapeability as being like temporally specific to like certain years in our life that are the earlier years. I feel like I take issue with that. And yeah, that's part one. And then part two, or I don't even take issue with that because I don't know if it's like that I actually believe it's not true, but I feel like I'm very resistant to the idea that it's true. I'm like, we're always infinitely shapeable. But I don't know. And then also, I was going to ask a follow-up question to you of like, are there friendships? Because I actually do feel like I already feel that in some friendships where I'm like, oh, I've actually moved past such and such way of being or of interacting, or like I have like grown from that. But then when I like I'm interacting with certain people, I feel myself like back in that. And sometimes it's a like not pleasant thing. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, have learned how to like better regulate my emotions when I'm frustrated. But then when I'm back talking to so-and-so, I feel like I'm right back in those patterns. And then sometimes it's in a like good reminder way where I'm like, oh, I like lost some of such and such like joy and spontaneity in interactions. When I talk to this person, they remind me that is something that I can like tap into. So I'm curious if that actually, if it's true that you don't feel that in friendships, or if you do, how that looks and feels.
I guess I do sometimes, but maybe it feels, well, I guess I should just speak from my own perspective. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, wow, I have grown. I am a human for the first time. I understood that I had my own opinions, that I had values.
Yeah.
And then I came home and I was like, wait, what? I thought I had values. So, and in friendships, yeah, sure, it happens too, where I'm like, wait, but you think I'm still this person, but actually I've changed. But maybe it feels less... it feels like a less intense break mm. for how I've experienced it. Mm-hmm. Let's think about it.
Well, I'm also thinking about, just to argue with the thing that I said a second ago about like, I'm resistant to the idea of like shapeability as being specific to certain years in our life. And I'm also like, yeah, I guess I understand why I said that and why I'm resistant to it. Cause I think there's this like, I have, and maybe we both have, just this like, I want to always be able to choose what I'm doing and never be stuck in like, oh, I've already been doing this or being this way, so I have to continue being this way. Like, I want to be able to choose anew. But I think that there's also something that maybe we are, you know, we'll both learn over time about like, it is like valuable to have like structures in ourselves and institutions in ourselves that like exist across time. And like, I feel like until a year and a half ago or something, I wouldn't have even wanted for the answer to be like, oh yes, we are like less shapeable over time. But like, I don't know, it doesn't sound as like awful and constricting to me as it might once have sounded.
Okay, I have two answers to this.
Okay.
the oh my god, I hope I don't forget them. I feel like I've already forgotten one. Okay, I'll start with the sad answer. Okay. The sad answer is a while ago, like a couple of years ago, I read a definition of aging that was that you become less engaged or less active and attached. I don't know if I'm translating it well, but basically the point is when you get older, like you've seen things happen so many times that you're just like, it, like, yeah, it's good if things change, but I don't care so much. Mm-hmm. So you stop caring. That's what mm-hmm. aging is. So that's one way to respond to you. And the other one, oh yeah, I remember. Maybe which I think is the nicer one, is when, like, maybe we become less shapeable over time, but also I like to think that open-mindedness doesn't mean that you're always accepting every idea, but it means that you consider something and then you can still reject it. Mm-hmm. And so when you get older, like, you've just already made a lot of considerations, and sometimes you need to reconsider stuff, mm-hmm. and then context becomes a question, mm-hmm. again. But I think that makes sense. And when you're young, every mm-hmm. question mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. a new question. And so, yeah. Of course, you're shapeable.
Right. Yeah, I really, predictably, I love the second one of those. I think that this is connected to what I was saying earlier about, like, I think in the constant question of, like, thinking versus feeling your feelings, and the idea that, like, it's helpful for me to like conceptualize feelings more specifically than, like, happiness, sadness, regret, whatever, that, like, what you just said, I think, is a really helpful way of thinking about, yeah, that concept of shapeability, of, like, okay, well, it's just a question of how many questions have you already considered for the first time? And either, like, I guess, well, even that, I'm not sure. Like, so many things. Okay, like, in what you just said, as you go on in time, there will become less and less questions that you have never thought about. Fewer and fewer questions that you have never, ever thought about. And then in my head, my response was like, wait, no, questions are infinitely expanding. Like, there's always more questions. Each question is actually 5 questions, and each of those 5 is actually 5. But then my immediate, like, also response to that is like, well, yeah, but they still boil down to, like, even when you look through the list of questions that I have in my journal, like, there's literally hundreds. And also still, there's, like, there's themes, and there's things that there's, like, you know, the persistent ones that each question, like, speaks to and is, like, at its core about. So with all of that argument with myself, my general response is, yes, that really makes sense to me as a way of thinking about, like, shapeability and age.
But then also maybe it's related to values. Mm. So, or I'm thinking about something very specific, which is that I think how around me, people my age, there are a lot of vegetarians, or they eat less meat, or they're quite conscious of this aspect of their diet. And the generation before us, our parents, were not, but are also becoming this now. And so then it's like, maybe the value is I want to eat healthy and balanced, and the answer to that just is different at different times. And so then we come back to zooming in and zooming out. Like, is the shapeability the value, or is the shapeability the action? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the first thing? Now I'm not remembering. What was the first thing about the aging? Oh, just that you've seen more things, and so you are less attached to any given result?
You stop caring, because it's like Susan Sontag, maybe. Like, the first time you see something horrifying, you're actually horrified, mm-hmm. and after 100 times of seeing that, it's just another thing that you've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also, like, that makes me think about circular time is the phrase that just came to mind, but, like, I guess time that exists beyond a given person's lifetime, and that construct that you just said, like, makes sense, but also only makes sense if each person is conceiving of their life as, like, the time in which they are on Earth alive, and not also, like, all of the roots that extend before that and all of the branches that extend after that, right? Like, it only is true that you are, like, oh, I've seen more things, more and more things, and of the set of things to be seen, I've seen more and more of them, and so I'm less attached to, like, a specific answer. That when you, like, zoom out, I guess, and you broaden your view to, like, okay, well, what are my, like, the generation after me and the generations after me, like, what will they be considering? I feel like it's less simple. I feel like it's less intuitive to be like, okay, well then it doesn't matter what happens. I don't know. I feel like that was very jumbled, but.
Are you saying that if you could time travel, then this thing about, oh, I'm getting older, I care less, would not be true? Because
I think it would be less true. If you could time travel, yeah. Or if you could effectively get yourself to think about, to understand that you already are time traveling and like you already do exist beyond the time that you are like here physically, not in like a metaphysical way, but genuinely just in like a generations and impact and influence and archives mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. We're time travelers.
We yeah. are time travelers. I feel like, well, actually, I don't remember. I'm imagining in this moment that there's like someone who I've like gotten this language from, but I have no idea. I have no specific memory, but I'm just putting out a general attribution here that that might not be my language, but it is language that I have archived and I'm holding in the library of me. Yeah. Wow. I want to send this to all our, you know, archive loves and think about people and friendships as archives with them. Cool. Well,
sometimes I wonder if the word archive is actually quite commonly used, or that I'm very sensitive to a style, so I always notice, or my surroundings are adapting to my need for this word.
I feel like it is. Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like it's that. I feel like I always notice it. I almost sent you a thread the other day on Twitter, but I forgot. But it was someone who was like, "Oh, I'm writing a paper about archives, and I want my like godson to be able to understand." Can anyone send here any like resources that are like for young people, like that make archives or the concept of archives like interesting or intuitive? And I was like, "Oh my god, archives!" Which is
sounds
also
like they
say,
should.
Oh, go ahead.
They should watch my documentary.
They should what?
I don't know.
Oh, wait.
Watch
yes.
my documentary.
Oh, my God. Actually, yes. I think
okay,
that's
later,
true.
Later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I will say two things. No, okay. I will say that we missed by, you know, most of the show, our window for talking about another question, which is totally fine. I'm delighted to have this be the question that we talked about. I had one more. Oh, yeah. I guess I want to, because time in the show is ending, although it's very hard to keep track of this not live. I want to ask, before I move to like our ritual closing, whatever things, I want to ask what. Oh, yeah. What are like questions from this conversation or like threads that you want to that we want to leave ourselves, each other and other people with, even though we ourselves will not continue right now to talk about these things. Are there any like little nuggets?
Well, I think it would be not, yeah, everyone can wonder about how you would map your own life. And then I don't mean so much future mapping, like what am I going to do? What are my skills? But like, yeah, the social, how do I relate to the world kind of mapping?
Yeah.
That's not a question. That's a demand for everyone.
Manifesto, Didi and Marco.
Yeah.
I feel like a thread that I want to leave us with and people with is like, in what, for what people or friendships or situations or whatever, are you an archive or a catalog? And like, how do you treat that? How do you arrange that? How do you upkeep that? How do you like make sure that the people who need access to it have access to it? How do you make it open source? If you want to make it open source, like how do you think through all the different questions that we really do think through about archives and libraries? Like, how do those also exist with like ourselves, the friendships, the things that we know, the people who we are around specific people.
And maybe, mm-hmm. Incredible that we haven't said this word at all. What are the silences?
Can you say more, a little bit more?
Well,
just like what is, yeah.
This is a question that we would ask in every history class, I think. It's whenever we see things, you're so fixated on the things that you can see that we often forget to ask, but what do we not see? And in terms of traditional archives, that would be like, wait, no one who was enslaved got to write documents that were archived. So in terms of the friendships that you think of, which friendships do you not think of, and the moments that you remember, but what are all the things that got lost, and or are they still somewhere? And but maybe there's a really good reason why you don't want to remember them, but they're nice questions to ponder too.
I feel like the summary of all of this is that I miss the archive. I miss having access to the archive or the catalog of possible me's that exists when we are in history classes together. That is my takeaway here, of many. Okay, so I didn't mention this before, but if you're down for it, I want to do something that I've done a couple times, which is super rapid fire. I'm going to go through some of the questions that we didn't end up talking about, and like just whatever quick first thing comes to your mind, that's the answer. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, great. Must values be consistent?
No.
What is it to be a good friend?
Oof. Loyalty. Yeah.
Okay. How do we perfect? Yeah. How do we arrive at the frameworks that we find useful, and why are frameworks a helpful thing?
Well, I don't know if we can be short about this. But I think we partly talked about it. It's like you ask questions.
Yeah.
And then at some point, the amount of questions becomes less overwhelming because you figured out frameworks for yourself to answer them.
Why aren't all scientists, historians, and philosophers?
Yeah, that's a disgrace.
How does the question of urgency interact with principle and strategy and process and outcome?
The only thing I have to say about this is the word urgency really strikes me, because this morning I woke up and I was like, I cannot believe that not every single person lies awake every night being angry and crying and whatever about the climate crisis that we are in, and it's so urgent. And then I went to one of my jobs at the museum, and I said to some director, we must put on a exhibition about climate crisis. And they said, well, okay, well, we all have our own responsibilities here. I'm not sure that that's your job.
Last rapid fire question is, what makes writing good?
Okay, I think so many different things, but currently it is that you relate to the questions in the book.
Great. We are at the time of the end almost, so I'm going to do the two kind of final things that we do. We will have to be a little bit quick about these, but who is a person who you would love to, who you want to hear on the show?
Sonia Ostro or Alberto.
Alberto, great. Okay, cool. Ostro is great, but I also already reached out to her, so that's already will be in the works.
Amazing.
And also, other kind of ritual end question is, what is a question that you have been thinking about?
Oh, well, I think this question is already in your doc, but I'm mostly thinking about what is friendship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No surprise there. Wow, amazing. This was such a delight. I love you. I love talking to you. I love all of you who will be listening to this on Monday or at any other time. And of course, as always, if you have any both feedback on like content or on format or whatever, but also, of course, your thoughts on the content and the questions, would really love to hear them. And mostly just, Marjo, it is like, first of all, what a privilege and a pleasure to talk to you two times in a week. Like, that is great. That's amazing. And I am so happy to be doing this and to the accessing the version of myself that exists in our friendship. So that's my closing statement. If you have anything you want to say, please feel free, and then we'll close it out.
I just want to say thank you, Didi. It's so nice to talk to you, and also I feel so happy that you're just doing this. By just doing this, I mean, you love talking to your friends, you have so many questions, and so you decide to make a radio show. Like, that's really great and inspiring.
Yeah. Okay, incredible. I'm going to stop this recording, and then Marco, you and I will chat, and see you all next week.